Your relationship with your body is the longest relationship you will ever be in. You must have unconditional permission to eat in order to make peace with food. What is your self-talk like about your body? If you wouldn't say that to a loved one about their body, what makes it okay to say it to yourself? This is a safe virtual space where we are going to dig into deep heart-to-heart combos that all come back to our relationships with food and body. Welcome back to another episode of the Fine Food Freedom Podcast. This is your host, Sam Previtt, and I am so delighted that you are here. Can you believe it's already mid to end of December? That is insane. And I figured because of that, you're probably already thinking about the new year, or you might be like me, where you're like, I don't even know what day it is, so it really doesn't matter. I had to literally look before I hit record. So I wanted to talk about New Year's resolutions, New Year's intentions, and honestly, just bring it back to the basics today of when it comes to walking away from dieting, food freedom, especially around this time of year when like the new year, new you bullshit gets really, really loud. I want to talk about what are some like reflective questions that you can think about, that you can center, that are going to help you kick off the new year on the right foot. And not that there's like a right or wrong foot. I just mean that for the expression, right? Of feeling grounded, feeling aligned to your most truest self. Because your girl here has done lots of New Year's resolutions, has done lots of dieting. And we can even talk about those and I can share those and we can giggle together about some of the past versions of myself. Okay, so before we do that, I want to read off our Find Food Freedom win of the week. This was a DM I got. We had held a free masterclass a few weeks back and I found this direct message after our class. And it reads as so. Hi, I found Find Food Freedom back on Instagram and have listened to podcasts for a while now, and I've been kind of silent with reacting to posts, but the class yesterday really made me want to strive for food freedom next year. I have been struggling for years with body image issues, dieting, negative self-talk, all or nothing mentality, you name it. I came across your page maybe a year ago or so, and it has been so refreshing hearing your take on diet culture. My younger self really needed you. So I just wanted to say thank you for all that you do. And I want to, first of all, say thank you to that person who wrote that. But I also want to just validate, like, I think we have this expectation sometimes that we hear about intuitive eating or we hear about food freedom and it's like, I should just get it or I should be further along in my journey or if we compare ourselves to other people. But I love like that message is such a like a great reminder of like, there are people that follow along on our Find Food Freedom Instagram or TikTok for years before taking any type of action. And so I just want to validate wherever you're at in your journey, if you're like, I still have one foot in diet culture. I'm still restricting. I'm still counting calories. Or I'm still like, it's okay. Stay curious, stay open-minded. And I'm just really happy that you're here. And I think that's the beauty of this is just like sharing the different perspectives, listening, learning, staying curious, and continuing to grow and evolve. And that's all we can do as humans. So really, really grateful for that Find Food Freedom win of the week. And for all of our clients that we work with. And just a friendly reminder as we get into today's episode that we do take health insurance. It has been officially 1 year since we started taking health insurance, which is insane. I should pull the numbers. We've had like over, I think the last time I checked, it was over like 3,800 sessions this year with clients as a team, which is in fucking sane. Incredible. So if you have health insurance, please get your benefits checked if you're looking for any one-on-one support. So you can do that by going to bit.ly/FFF insurance. You can click the link in the show notes. You can go to Instagram. You can go to TikTok. Just click the link, get your insurance benefits checked. I can't say it enough. If you're looking for any help with your relationship with food, body image, genuinely improving your health, if you have lab values out of normal range, if you have a medical disease or condition that you need support with, our team would be honored to help you. honored, truly. Can we also just have a moment of gratitude for the pause button on Zoom? Because your girl just had a sneezing fit. I think I just sneezed 6 times in a row. That was a world record for me. And I felt like my toddler because snot just came pouring out of my nose. And sorry, that's TMI, but it probably sounds like I am holding my nose shut while I'm recording this, like, you know, like this. No, that's just how I sound. Don't know if it's allergies. Don't know if it's a daycare bug. You never know when you have a toddler. But here we are. And thank God you didn't have to experience all of those sneezes with me. But I just felt inclined to tell you about it because I feel like I have PTSD from what just happened. Okay. So let's just jump into it, shall we? I really want to get into New Year's reflections because as someone who has supported clients for years and years and years behind closed doors or virtual doors, New Year's is such a time of triggering diet culture bullshit. We see, and honestly, we've seen a huge shift throughout the years of how companies have kind of altered their message to try to feel anti-diet and feel like it's non-diet, but really it's just fucking diet culture bullshit. But I feel like companies where the pendulum always swings with marketing, right? So like Noom, for a while, Noom was going through that phase, like calling themselves anti-diet and saying it wasn't a diet. And now they're like, oh, fuck it. We're like the number one weight loss, blah, blah, blah. And it's like, okay, at least you're calling yourself what you are now. Like, fuck. But I think with Ozempic and Wegovy and all of these semaglutide medications that are on the market now, I think intentional weight loss is back with heavy air quotes. Like, it's trendy again. I think when we went through, there was a, I want to say like a body positive movement that was very performative from a lot of companies, right? Like we saw a lot of ads with companies showing body sizes of all types, which was incredible. But it's because, I truly think it's because it was like trendy at the time. And now we're seeing like the pendulum swing where like heroin chic and all of these things are back. And it's so discouraging. And just because the world that we live in and the society that is around us is fat phobic doesn't mean that we have to subscribe to it. And you don't have to chase intentional weight loss. I have so many people that DM me every day saying like, I feel so discouraged because everybody around me is taking these weight loss medications and I feel like I should be doing it too. And I really want to make this episode very, how do I say this? Very helpful for you to reflect on why you're choosing whatever path you're choosing related to your relationships with food and body. So this is not me saying like, you're not allowed to take intentional weight loss drugs and you shouldn't do it. And here's why. I'm not trying to convince you of anything. I'm not trying to defend or convince or any of that bullshit. I'm just here to inspire you. I'm here to create curiosity. I'm here for you to have a safe space to reflect and you get to make those decisions for yourself. But I do know, again, from just sitting with clients for years and years on end, that this time of year, people feel this immense pressure to lose weight, to make a change, right? Like to do something with the new year around the corner. And so I want to share with you, these are kind of, over the years, I've crafted this not only for clients, but for myself of how to really set a tone for the new year because there's so much of that new year, new you bullshit out there. It's like, okay, we don't subscribe to that. So what do we subscribe to? And not like you have to subscribe to anything, but just how do we reflect? So let's look at, if we're looking this at this from like a relationship with food and body image lens, I'm going to ask you some questions and then I'm going to kind of prompt you from there. So this might be a really great time to pull out a journal, pull out your phone. If you're listening to me on your phone, that's easy, but pull out like your notes app and write some of this down because then you can sit with this at any time. You could pause it right now and kind of go back and forth with me on the podcast, but, or you can just write these questions down and then take some time later, like sit with a cup of tea or your favorite beverage, light a candle, you know, get around some nice Christmas lights, like in a really calm environment and reflect on this. So the first question here is, how long have you dieted for? I think this is such an important question to think about. And And when we talk about how long you've dieted for, this doesn't mean just like on a diet, right? So like you're on the Atkins diet, you're on the keto diet, you're on the intermittent fasting diet, like you're following the set of rules. This can mean more so like how many years have you been restricting your calories? How many years have you followed any food rules of like don't eat after 8 p.m. or just silly things that we pick up through diet culture that we don't even realize we're doing until we really sit down and assess it. So I want you to think about how many years have you been on and off the wagon, black or white, all or nothing, restrict and binge, you know, periods of sensible control and completely out of control around food. And this can be so, so helpful to sit down, to see it, to see it on a page in front of you, because a lot of times we don't really think about this until we're asked this question. And this is something that with all of our clients that we work with, these are like one of the first things we really look at is our past, right? Our dieting history. Now, I want to ask you, when you look at that number that you just wrote down or that you're reflecting on, how has dieting worked for you thus far? So the majority of clients we work with, they are over 20 years of dieting. Like that's the number that we see commonly. So if you, I'm just going to use that one because that's the average of our clients usually when we pull all the numbers. But so let's say it's, you could be 5, 10, 20, 30, 40, 50 years, whatever it is. But when you look at that 20 years of dieting, I'm just going to use that for example. How has dieting worked for you thus far? Has it gotten you what it's promised you? Do you feel satisfied by this dieting journey? And really, like, be honest with yourself. Like, has dieting gotten you what you've wanted? And often, if we look at that as a yes or no question, when we've done workshops, when we sit with clients individually, a lot of times the answer is absolutely not. Sometimes we'll get yes temporarily. So I will hear that, well, people will be like, well, yes, dieting works temporarily, but it never works long term. And I want to validate that, that I think that's what's so attractive about dieting is when we set off to intentionally lose weight, because that's the goal of dieting, right? To shrink ourselves, to lose weight. We get that quick fix. We get that like rush when we lose weight. And then other people start to notice. They're like, oh my God, girl, you look so good. Whatever you're doing, keep it up. You look so healthy. You look awesome. And that just fuels the diet flame. That just fans the flame. Like, keep going, keep going. Meanwhile, they have no idea what you're doing. They don't know if you have an eating disorder, if you have a medical disease or condition, if you're restricting yourself. They don't know, but they're complimenting you. So go back. Many moons ago, I did an episode called Complimenting Weight Loss is Not a Compliment, and I go deep into that conversation. But I think it's really important to recognize however many years you've been dieting, if it has not gotten you what it's promised you, why do we continue to do it? That is like a $1 million question that I don't want you to just breeze over that with a simple answer. I want you to think about, okay, how many years have you dieted for? Has it gotten you what it's promised you long term? And if it hasn't, why do you continue to diet? And this is one that it's like, pull back the shades, pull back the layers and let it rip. Like, why do you keep dieting? And there's so many reasons, like, and I'm not saying that this is going to be your answer. I just want to rattle off a few that, again, with working with hundreds and hundreds of clients, I see this all the time. Big one that I hear all the time, health. People think that they have to diet to be healthy. So we can almost do like a series on this of why that is not fact. We know that dieting is the number one predictor of weight gain. So people are dieting to try to intentionally lose weight, but really dieting is the number one predictor of weight gain and the number one precursor to eating disorder. Another reason I hear often is to love myself or to feel better in my body, whether that be physically, mentally, emotionally. So I understand, again, why people feel this way, because medical practitioners all the time will say, oh, you have knee pain, well, lose weight and your knee won't hurt anymore. Well, if that were the truth, then people that resided in smaller bodies would never experience knee pain or back pain or any pain. Some people, it might be to feel better emotionally or that mentally, or like if we think of self-love, right? Or the body image conversation. Again, if that were the truth, then every single human that resided in a smaller body would love themselves. And so there's these false narratives that surround dieting, and it's so easy to subscribe to them. Like, I'm going to raise my hand over here. I did it for over 10 years. Like, my entire 20s were spent just like prep. Not near the end, I started to learn about intuitive eating and whatnot, but the majority of my 20s, I subscribed to these narratives, and I was chasing on the hamster wheel of like, smaller is better, smaller is worthy, smaller is healthier, smaller is loved, all of these things, until I was like, holy shit, I can't fucking do this anymore. And this is a huge lie. And I feel like I woke up and saw diet culture for what it was. And I'm so grateful that I did. And so really, really sit with that question. Don't skip over this part. Please sit with the question. If you've dieted for X amount of years, it hasn't gotten you what it's promised you long term, why do you continue to do it? That, and I'm not saying this to like instill guilt and shame in you. I really want you to dig deep and like, why do you continue to do it? We don't need to feel any guilt or shame. We live in a very fat phobic world where people are nicer to you if you're in a smaller body. You have more privilege if you reside in a smaller body. You have more opportunities. You have less discrimination and oppression against you simply for existing in a smaller body. So I understand why people do it. And we cannot live our lives trying to appease other people. Body diversity is real. Bodies are meant to be different sizes, and you were meant for so much more than chasing a smaller body for your entire life. Okay, so that is kind of the reflection piece of this episode, but if we continue on, I want you to think about the future now. So we were kind of looking at the past before, but now let's look at the future. Let's look at 2025, right? The future is upon us. The new year is ahead. If you could pick one word for me, just one word, I don't want you to do a sentence. I don't want you to do a paragraph. I want you to hone in and be like, okay, I'm going to choose one word. What do you want to feel and experience in 2025? Pick one word. Again, I don't know what your word is. I am not a psychic, but I do this work often with clients. So I'm going to kind of rattle off some of the ones that I usually hear. Peace, joy, love, contentment, relaxation, acceptance, present. These are like kind of the usual vibe of the words that I'll get. And I want you to know, I want you to center that word. I want you to think about the word. What is the one word that you want to feel to describe what you want to feel and experience in 2025 and beyond? But let's keep it to next year. And I want you to think of that word. And I want you to, and I'll use myself as an example. Last year, my word that I chose, I did a similar series around this time of the year, you know, as the new year approached. And I believe that the word I chose was contentment last year. I wanted to just be content. I feel like I'm always like thinking about the next thing or thinking about what needs to be done or like seeing how I could grow or change or be better. And I still struggle with that. But that was my word for 2024. This year, now that I have two girlies, I had my second child this year. I think the word I want to center is joy, because kids bring such an innocent joy to the world. And if you as a parent, and I'm going on a tangent of myself and I promise I'll bring it back, but I'm thinking about myself right now and I'm trying to use this as an example. If I get caught up in like what needs to be done, what has to be done, what like all this stuff, it is so easy to miss the pure joy that children bring into our lives, because we're adults, right? So we're like hyper aware of like the world and like what's going on, but like they don't know that. They like, you are their entire world as their parents, and obviously their friends and their neighborhood and like their small communities. But I think like for me, I want to really lean into joy with the girls and capture the joy that they bring. And I do this already, but I think it's so easy to miss it when as adults we're like we can be physically present, right? But like mentally and emotionally, we can be somewhere else. And this is what happens with dieting. It's the same shit, just a different, like I'm literally just using a different example. So like for myself in my 20s, sure, I'd be like physically present at social events or whatever, but mentally and emotionally, I was like, let's say I'm at a wedding, right? Or like a party. I'd be like, I can't eat that. I'm not going to eat that. You need to be good. And then I would start to eat the food, whatever it was. And then I'd be like, okay, you can be bad tonight. Okay, fuck it. I'm going to eat more of it because tomorrow I'm not allowed to have it. Okay, tomorrow, diet starts tomorrow. Okay, tomorrow you're not allowed to have it. Monday you're not allowed to have it. After the holiday you're not allowed to have it. And like, I couldn't be present because I was so fucking fixated on the food. And I think the same thing, yeah, I don't do that anymore with food. Like, I truly do not. And it's really easy to take those kind of habits and behaviors and transfer them to another part of your life. And Jenna and I talk about this a lot on What the Actual Fork podcast, but like we struggled with disordered eating and eating disorder, like in our past. And now as parents, I feel like I'm not struggling with that. Thank God. I'm so grateful for that. And it's really easy to take those behaviors and like apply it to parenting where like, I want to be present, but there's still this like voice in my head that's like, I need to do this, or I could be better. I should be better at this, or I feel guilt because I'm not doing this, or like, I just want to be present and experience joy. That's really what I want to center. And then now whatever word you chose for whatever reason, I think definitely doing some journaling on like why you chose that word, I think could be really helpful. So I, for the sake of this conversation, I just asked you, what is that one word you want to experience? But to take it a step further, does dieting or the pursuit of intentional weight loss contribute to that word? And like, we can use my example that I just gave, right? Like joy. I want to experience joy. Does restriction dieting contribute to joy? No, quite the opposite. I think that dieting sucks the joy out of life. How can we enjoy food when we're not allowed to have it? How can we enjoy social events when we're too wrapped up about the food and the calories and all of the things there? How can we enjoy anything when we think that we aren't good enough due to the size of our body to be present somewhere? Like if we're like, oh, well, if I was just smaller, then I would be liked. If I was just smaller, I would be happier. If I was just smaller, things would be better. And I think about, it doesn't mean that my 20s, like I hated my 20s and they were horrible, because I had some really great times, but it was like there was a black and white colored lens on my life that stopped me from having the pure joy that I could, because there it was always muffled or covered with this narrative of like, you're not good enough, you need to be smaller, etc. And now I feel like, especially seeing it through my daughter's eyes, that like my life is in technicolor of like, it's not muted by diet culture, which I'm so grateful for. And so that is another way we can take it. And I'm going to summarize all these at the end. So if you're like, okay, I want to do all of these, I'll summarize all the questions we talked about because I have them written on my iPad right here. And then the next thing, last thing here, these are all optional, obviously. But if you're looking at 2025 and you're like, okay, I'm usually a resolution girly, but I don't want to be a resolution girly this year because, you know, in the past, it may have set you up for failure or made you feel guilt or shame. What can we replace that with? So first of all, I want to use myself as an example. I have had every diet culture resolution under the sun that you could ever fucking imagine. I remember one year I was like, I'm never going to eat a carb this year. And by like 5 p.m. on January 1st, I was like ordering a calzone on Uber Eats or whatever. Uber Eats didn't exist in my 20s, but you know what I mean. How did we survive without Uber and Uber Eats in college? Like, that's insane. So I've done every, I mean, I had resolutions that I'm going to work out every day of the year. And again, by like the third day, I'm like, I can't fucking do this. So let's look at, okay, if we don't want to do resolutions, and that's not to like knock people that do resolutions, everybody's different, right? So like, if you're a resolution girly and you fucking love it, great. Do resolutions bring you guilt and shame when you don't complete them or they fail? Okay, well then like maybe they don't serve you then. But it's not to say like you can't do them or shouldn't do them. So what I like more, because it stirs up less guilt and shame in me, and I think it's like genuinely fun, is doing either intentions or bucket lists. So for example, we already kind of hit on the intentions of like, okay, what's the one word you want to feel and experience in 2025? For me, we'll use me as an example. It's joy. Joy is my intention for the year. So then everything that you do or choose to do in 2025, you have that filter on it. You have that intention set, and you can ask yourself, does blank said thing contribute to joy? Because if joy is the word, that's the intention that I'm choosing. Okay. If we want to go do a family trip to the zoo, right? Does it bring me joy? If I want to sign up for a dance class or tennis lessons or whatever, does it bring me joy? And I think that these things are, this can like help you recognize, because I think diet culture has a really sneaky way of like putting its nails in you and like pulling you back in. So I think asking yourself, like, does this bring me true blank joy, peace, contentment, freedom, whatever the word you chose? Or if you're like, I'm not much of an intentions girl, let's bring it back to bucket list. So some people, and I feel like a client probably shared this with me years ago, and I love learning from my clients, that they did bucket lists of things they wanted to achieve that year. So resolutions, I don't like, because I feel like they're very like black or white, all or nothing. They like give me diet culture vibes. But a bucket list is like, what are some fun ass things that you want to try? So like, is it tennis lessons? Is it a dance class? Is it traveling to a local hot springs? I don't know. I live in Florida, so that was the first thing I could think of. So like coming up with all of these things that it's like, these are things I want to do this year that are fun, that have nothing to do with shrinking my body or a number on the scale. Like, think about that. Like, resolutions related to intentional weight loss are like, how do I shrink myself? When we are on this fucking floating rock, none of us have any idea how long we're going to live for. It's like, you were made for so much more. It's like, what is the fun ass shit that you want to do this year? Write it down, because your life is ticking by so fast, and you never know when it's going to end. So like, put it down and be intentional about doing those things. And I, like most podcasts that I record, I need to hear this fucking message myself, because I am the queen of just getting stuck in my mundane routine with a toddler and a baby and just cleaning and doing this and that. And then like weeks and months go by and I'm like, still haven't taken the tennis lesson, still haven't signed up for the dance class, still haven't done something for myself. And so I am happy to say that I'm going to walk away from this episode doing my bucket list for 2025. And I'm grateful that I had this opportunity to share with you my word for 2025. So as promised, I'm just going to bullet point list off everything we just talked about, so you have it in one condensed clip if you want to listen to this. And then we're going to close out for today. So here's some of the reflections. One, how long have you been dieting for? Two, has dieting gotten you what it's promised you long term? Three, if it has not, why do we continue to diet or chase intentional weight loss? Four, what is one word that explains or gives light to what you want to feel and experience in 2025? Five, does dieting contribute to that word? And six, whether this isn't really a question, but like your bucket list, you can list off things, your bucket list for 2025, set an intention for 2025, really go into this new year saying, what can I do to fill up my cup? Diet culture is all about making you smaller, taking away, restricting, depriving. I want to really challenge you to get away from that mindset and really look at what can I include, what can I add in to make my life more bountiful, plentiful, rich. That is what we're looking for in 2025. So I am so incredibly grateful that you chose to spend this time with me. I thank you so much. Please, 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 if you enjoyed this episode, rate, review, subscribe on Apple Podcasts. It takes no time at all. Just hit the however many stars you want to give. If you want to do a review, please do say what you liked about this episode, or let me know what you want to hear more of. You can use the review as an opportunity to tell me what you want. The more I hear from you, the more I can craft episodes that are going to be helpful. And please do not hesitate to reach out for support. Click the link in the show notes before. We have a team of 15 dietitians and certified intuitive eating counselors that are here to help you make peace with food and body and genuinely improve your health. And we're here for you today in 2025 and beyond. So I am wishing you an incredible holiday. I will be releasing a very short episode on Christmas Day to just check in with you, to be there for you, to support you. So check in next week with me, and sending you so much love this holiday season, and I'll see you next week. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for listening to this episode of the Find Food Freedom Podcast. Every single time you listen to an episode, it truly makes our dreams come true, helping people make peace with food, body, and movement. If you have not already, please make sure to head over to social media and give us a follow at find.food.freedom on Instagram or Find Food Freedom on TikTok. And if you resonated with today's episode and want more professional support, please head over to findfoodfreedomresources.com. This is where you can get your benefits checked to see if your health insurance will fully cover that one-on-one nutrition counseling with our team. And we also have so many other virtual resources there. So again, that's findfoodfreedomresources.com for all things Find Food Freedom and to get those health insurance benefits checked. If you have not already, I invite you to rate, review, subscribe, like, share this podcast with anybody that you think needs to hear it. The more that you share this podcast, the more that this message of intuitive eating and food freedom will be out in the world, which we so desperately need. Again, thank you for being here. I cannot wait to chat with you again soon on the next episode of the Find Food Freedom Podcast.